Today's reading is Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 8, and then Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. And you can find it on page 1091 in the Church Bibles. Jesus taken up into heaven. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered round him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all gathered together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each of them heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all those who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthia, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. And thank you, Sarah, for that wonderful reading. Not only was I impressed that you actually managed to get all of the pronunciations of those names right, but actually you sped up when you were doing it as well. That was seriously impressive. I would have slowed down to make sure that I got them right. Or were you just trying to rattle through it so nobody actually noticed whether you'd actually got it right or not? Oh, wonderful. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much for your word, and thank you for this wonderful day of Pentecost. Father, I pray that as we look at your word now, Lord, that you would fill our hearts with gratitude for all that you've done for us, all that you've won for us, and the gift that you've given to us. So, Father, speak to us, I pray, in this moment, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but if you listen to lots of talks from kind of Christian leaders around the world, and if you read books, then you find that there are some Christian leaders who are incredibly quotable. And, you know, I'm thinking about kind of people like Bill Johnson, Chris Vallotton, Paul Langham. They're all incredibly quotable. Actually, I have to say, obviously, we're moving to a new church, and I'm actually really looking forward to moving, because I'm going to be able to steal all of Paul's lines. And I can't get away with saying that they're mine here, can I? Because you all heard Paul say them before. But actually, on the subject of leaving, I must just say one thing. Jill was worried about the Welshness in that video and the Welsh accents. I was actually mildly disturbed, it's got to be said, that only Sian actually looked upset that we were leaving. Derek, we will be having words about that later on, I can assure you. But one of the other kind of church leaders who I find incredibly quotable is a guy called Bill Hybels, who runs Willow Creek Community Church in Chicago over in the States. And my favorite quote that he says, which has shaped his ministry and shaped all that he's tried to do in and through his church in Willow Creek, is this: the local church is the hope of the nation. The local church is the hope of the nation. And I passionately believe that that is true. Why do I believe that? Well, think about the state of our nation for just a moment. Perhaps the last newspaper you read, perhaps the last TV program you watched, thinking about violent crimes, sexual crimes, the corruption of power, the deceit of wealth, and of course today, as we're painfully aware, the threat and the violence that comes through terrorism. Can government really do anything about some of these things? Government, of course, can enforce law, but it lacks the power to change the human heart. And of course, we are surrounded in our world by broken, hurting, and lost people. This really came home to me just before I got ordained. I went to work in a local secondary school. And there I encountered children from one of the worst estates in the city where I was living. And some of their behavior was absolutely appalling. And I was getting more and more frustrated and more angry with their behavior. And then I started to ask questions to them, but also of them to the other teachers. And they began to share with me some of the stories of these young people, their home background, the things they'd suffered, many of them in care, many of them having been abused. And as I heard their stories, as I began to understand some of their background, my heart changed. And I have such a heart for young people from those kind of backgrounds. And we know, don't we, that hurt people hurt other people. Broken people break other people and break things. What hope do we have in our society for people who struggle like that? Where can people like that, and where can we go to have our lives transformed? The only power that I've come across in this world that has the power to transform lives is the love of God and the power of God experienced through the Holy Spirit. Because God offers us a love that conquers our sin. He offers us a love that wipes out our shame, that tells us that through the cross we are forgiven. It's a love that heals our wounds, a love that makes it possible for enemies to be reconciled, the power of God that changes circumstances, that patches up broken dreams and power to transform broken lives. In short, it's the love and power of God to transform and change the world one life at a time. And this is the message of hope that's given to the church. This is the good news that Jesus came to proclaim and also to demonstrate. And the church is now the carrier of that message. That's why Bill Hybels says, the local church is the hope of the world. And that's true because we as the church have the monopoly on hope. There's nowhere else that people can go to have their lives transformed. I've recently come back from a ministry trip in Italy. And I've been, as those of you who are part of the congregation here will know, I've been going back to this particular place in Italy for the last 4 years. And the first time I went, I met a lady called Susanna. And she'd recently come out of a lifestyle of being a drug addict. And she just connected with a church that was trying to help her to get clean. And every time I've been back, she's been at the meetings that we've been at. And this time I went back and this lady, Susanna, came up to me and her face absolutely radiant. She was a completely different person than the person I first met 4 years ago. She introduced me this time a few weeks ago to her fiancé. She's about to get married. She's got a job. Her whole life has been utterly transformed by the power of God. A drug addict, in a space of 4 years, whole life completely transformed. And I just think that's absolutely staggering. And she's actually being called to be a worship leader now as well. And it's just amazing to see how God has worked in her life. You see, the church has the monopoly on hope because the church is the only place where people can come and experience and find the power of God. And that's why, as we've been praying this week, and for thy kingdom come, prayer that actually we would unlock the power that we need for evangelism, that we would unlock the power that we need to see transformation in our society, transformation in our schools, our universities, in the health sector, in wherever God has placed us and puts us throughout the week. But the danger is always that we try and do evangelism in our own strength. I, as you know, have got a real heart for evangelism. And over the years, I have tried practically every type of evangelism. I remember starting off as a very keen and enthusiastic new Christian, trying to bring every conversation I had round to Jesus. You know, things like, you know, I've got a new cat. That's great. Have you tried calling it Jesus? You know, knocking on people's doors, you know, just cold calling like that, flyers, you know, surveys on the street, you know, you name it, I've done it. But actually, my first efforts at evangelism weren't very fruitful. I think I put more people off than I actually attracted to the Lord. And that's because we were never designed to do evangelism in our own strength. We were never designed to be witnesses in our own strength. You see, God's idea for evangelism that we see in the passages that we've seen today is for us to wait for God's power and then to go and be his witnesses. And this, if you like, is the purpose of Pentecost. In the reading from Acts chapter 1, we find Jesus getting ready to ascend back up to heaven, telling his disciples the key things that they need to know before he goes and returns to the Father. And he teaches them about the kingdom of God. But then he tells them to wait in Jerusalem until they receive the promised gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Spirit that would give them the power. Power for what? Power for mission and for evangelism. As Jesus says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Power for mission. And then in Acts chapter 2, that on the day of Pentecost, where we see the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, but also the fulfillment of Jesus' promise, the Holy Spirit comes in a new way. As the disciples are all gathered together in one place, waiting for the fulfillment of those promises. And I suspect they weren't just sitting there waiting, but they were praying together. They were worshiping together, receiving the ministry of the word together. And it's in the context of that family, that community, worshiping God, encountering him together, it's in that context that the Spirit falls. And the Spirit gives the disciples this wonderful gift of speaking in foreign languages. As we read in the passage, Jews from all over the world had gathered together in Jerusalem to celebrate the Jewish celebration of Shavuot, the celebration of God giving the commandments. And it's there, in that context, that the Holy Spirit gives the disciples the gifts they need, the tools they need in that moment, to be able to proclaim the word of God to all of the people who've come from around the world. And of course, that's the purpose of Pentecost. God always visits his church with the Holy Spirit, so that the church may be sent out and equipped for mission. And power is always given to the church for that mission. And so as we read on in Acts chapter 2 and Peter's sermon, 3,000 people, as Ruthie was reminding us earlier, were converted on that day, the birthday of the church. Acts chapter 4, the disciples have been released from prison. They pray together. The Holy Spirit comes and fills them. They speak the word of God boldly, and many more become Christians. In Acts chapter 5, we hear about the healing ministry of the apostles. And even Peter's shadow running past people is enough to see people healed. And we read that many more believed. In Acts chapter 6, we have the choosing of the 7. Stephen and Philip, evangelists in their own right. Acts chapter 9, Saul becomes Paul and becomes that apostle to the Gentiles, having been filled with the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts chapter 11, we see Barnabas's ministry in Antioch, which is really the birth of the missionary church. And we read that Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. You see, the power of the church is the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's the power available for each one of us to be witnesses. And that power that is given to the church, the power of the Spirit, is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same power that is available and is at work in each and every one of us. It's the same power that Jesus gives to each of us to fulfill his ministry, to do his mission. So how can we receive more of this power? Well, there's so much that I could say on this, but I'm just going to say one thing. Jesus tells his first disciples to wait for power from on high, to wait for that filling of the Holy Spirit. And I think that even though we live in a different era, because obviously the Holy Spirit was poured out on that first day of Pentecost, I think that God still calls us to wait today. Why? Because I think it reminds us that it's God's power and not ours. Waiting is actually humbling. Waiting is an act of surrender. Waiting is an act of dependence. And God gives his power to those who are humble, surrendered, and dependent on him. I think I'm going to finish there, because I think it would be really good for us just to spend a few moments waiting. And so, can I invite you to stand with me, actually? Obviously, if you'd prefer to stay seated, that's absolutely fine, if you feel more comfortable with that. And I'm just very simply going to pray in just these few moments that are available to us before we move into a time of communion, just to pray and ask that the Holy Spirit would come. And if that's a prayer that you'd like to echo in your own hearts, then you can simply pray one of the most ancient prayers of the church. Come, Holy Spirit, for yourself. So, Holy Spirit, come. We welcome your presence in this place. Thank you that you're here already, but I ask that you'd increase the measure of your presence in this place. And that you would come and that you do a significant work in each of us individually. Lord, thank you that your word says that you fill the hungry with good things. And so I ask for those who are hungry this morning, hungry for more of you, hungry for more of your Holy Spirit, I ask that you'd come and that you'd fill each one of us afresh this morning. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Come. Father, thank you for what you're doing in this moment. Thank you for what many people are experiencing in this room at the moment. We thank you. We bless you. We honor you and we honor what you're doing in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to share communion together, but at the end of communion, we will enter back into worship. And there'll be an opportunity if you'd like somebody to pray with you and to stand with you, maybe pray that you would receive the Holy Spirit, perhaps for the first time or just afresh this morning. Then there will be an opportunity as we finish communion and enter back into worship then. But in the meantime, I'm going to say the words in yellow. Please, would you respond with the words in white? The Lord is here. His Spirit. So lift up your hearts.
We give thanks to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself. When we turned away you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made once for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed, at supper with his friends, He took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us now, and may this bread and this wine be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace one in Christ our risen Lord. With your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Please do sit as we pray together. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. When it comes to receiving communion, we will have stewards who will show you the right way to go. Please would you remain in your seat and follow their directions as you do so. And we welcome to the Lord's table all those who know, love, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a visitor here with us today and you would normally receive communion in your home church, then you're very welcome to receive it here with us. We do have gluten-free bread and non-alcoholic wine, if you would find that easiest. And those are on that table over on the left-hand side here. So as you come forward, come into the queue on the left-hand side just here, and then the stewards will direct you to the right point there. Also, if you'd like to come forward to receive a prayer of blessing, then please do just come forward as well and just make that clear to the people who will be administering the bread. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. Please, with those who are going to help to administer communion, to come forward now.